And I reckon you should stop using a torch to show people to their seats, said Bizan. You're starting too many fires.
It's the only way I can see in the dark, she said.
Yes, but I had to let that dwarf have his money back last night. You know how sensitive they are about their beards. Tell you what, love, I'll give you a salamander in a cage. They've been on the roof since dawn. They should be nice and ready. They were. The creatures lay dozing in the bottom of their cages, their bodies vibrating gently as they absorbed the light. Bizam selected six of the ripest, climbed heavily back down to the projection room, and tipped them into the showing box. He wound Throat Dibbler's film onto a spool, and then peered out into the darkness. Oh well, might as well see if there was anyone outside. He shuffled to the front door, yawning. He reached up and slid the bolt. He reached down and slid the other bolt. He pulled open the doors.
All right, he grumbled. Let's be having you.
He woke up in the projection room, with Mrs. Planter fanning him desperately with her apron.
What happened?
He whispered, trying to put out of his mind the memories of trampling feet.
It's a full house, she said, and they're still queuing up outside. They're all down the street. It's them disgusting posters.
Bizam got up unsteadily, but with determination.
Woman, shut up and get down to the kitchen and bang some more grains, he shouted, and then come and help me repaint the signs. If they're queuing for fivepenny seats, they'll queue for 10 pence.
He rolled up his sleeves and grasped the handle. In the front row, the librarian sat with a bag of peanuts in his lap. After a few minutes, he stopped chewing and sat with his mouth open, staring and staring and staring at the flickering images.
Hold your horse, sir, ma'am.
No.
By midday, Victor had earned tuppence. It wasn't that people didn't have horses that needed holding. It was just that they didn't seem to want him to hold them. Eventually, a gnarled little man from further along the street sidled up to him, dragging four horses. Victor had been watching him for hours, in frank astonishment that anyone would give the wizened homunculus a kindly smile, let alone a horse. But he'd been doing a brisk trade, while Victor's broad shoulders, handsome profile, and honest open smile were definitely a drawback in the horse-holding business.
"You're new to this, right?"
said the little man.
"Yes," said Victor. I could tell. Waiting for your big break in the clicks, right?
He grinned encouragingly.
No, I've had my big break, in fact, said Victor. Why are you here, then?
Victor shrugged.
I broke it. Is that so? Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. God bless you, sir. Right you are, sir,
said the man, accepting another set of reins.
I suppose you don't need an assistant, said Victor wistfully.
Bizam Planter stared at the pile of coins in front of him. Throat Dibbler moved his hands, and it was a smaller pile of coins, but it was still a bigger pile of coins than Bizam had ever seen while in a waking state.
"And we're still showing it every quarter of an hour," breathed Bizam. "I've had to hire a boy to turn the handle. I don't know what should I do with all this money."
Throat patted him on the shoulder.
"Buy bigger premises," he said.
"I've been thinking about that," said Bizam. "Something with fancy pillars out in front. And my daughter Calliope plays the organ really nice. It'd make a good accompaniment. And there should be lots of gold paint and curly bits."
His eyes glazed. It had found another mind.
Holywood dreams. And make it a palace like the fabulous Roxy in Clatch or the richest temple there ever was, with slave girls to sell the banged grains and peanuts, and Bizam Planter walking about proprietorially in a red velvet jacket with gold string on it.
Hmm?
He whispered as the sweat beaded on his forehead.
I said I'm off, said Throat. Got to keep moving in the moving picture business, you know.
Mrs. Planter says you've got to make more pictures with that young man, said Bizam. The whole city's talking about him. She said several ladies swooned when he gave them that smouldery look. She watched it 5 times, he added, his voice rhymed with sudden suspicion. And that girl, well...
Don't you worry about a thing, said Throat loftily. I've got them under control.
Sudden doubt drifted across his face.
See you,
he said shortly, and scurried out of the building.
Beezam stood alone and looked around at the cobwebbed interior of the Odeum, his overheated imagination peopling its dark corners with potted palms, gold leaf, and fat cherubs. Peanut shells and banged grain bags crunched under his feet.
I have to get it cleaned up for the next house, he thought. I expect that monkey'll be first in the queue again.
Then his eye fell on the poster for Sword of Passion. Amazing, really. There hadn't been much in the way of elephants and volcanoes, and the monsters had been trolls with bits stuck on them. But in that close-up, well, all the men had sighed, and then all the women had sighed. It was like magic. He grinned at the images of Victor and Ginger. Wonder what those two are doing now, he thought. Probably eating caviar off gold plates and lounging around up to their knees in velvet cushions, you bet.
End of CD 3.